The BMC Amy Z Talk and Coffeeware Modern Mainframe Podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion at soundcloud.com/modernmainframe.
Great episode of the BMC Amy Z Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jill Perez, and today I'm happy to be joined by Rick Slade, Executive DevOps Solutions Architect from BMC Compuware, and Jake Leon, Associate Product Manager. Today's topic is around enterprise DevOps and modernizing your approach to the mainframe. And this will be a part one of a three-part segment. So Jake, with that, I will let you get us started.
All right, great. Thanks, Jill. Rick, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well myself. So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit here for listeners who aren't aware of who you are?
Yeah, glad to. I'm an old man. This is my 40th year in the software business, Jake, as I think you know, and I have a real passion for software delivery, software development. Been in the business of helping organizations deliver better software delivery ecosystems now for the last 20 years. So it's something I have a lot of passion for. I enjoy the software development delivery process. I spent the last of those 20, mostly with IBM, and the last four here with BMC Compuware. Joined Compuware because I was just static about the strategy that they were leveraging to deliver software and the approach that they took in building services and tools to support software delivery, primarily from an Agile and DevOps perspective. So been doing it for a while, still enjoy it. Looking forward to this discussion with you today, man.
Yeah, me too. I love listening to your stuff, your previous podcast. It's always a good listen and always learn a lot. So I guess we'll just get started. And, you know, when we're talking about DevOps on the mainframe, you know, these are quote unquote, you know, legacy systems, you know, so why do I, you know, as a listener need DevOps?
That's a good question. The term legacy is an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, to me, code is code. And if it's operational and it's functional, and it's providing some business service to the organization, then it has to be supported and maintained, whether it's 20 years old or at 1 year old. Organizational requirements are going to change, man, from day to day, whether it be due to market conditions or compliance requirements. Change is the one thing that's going to be static with regard to supporting an organization from a software perspective. And so changes are going to be made to that code. Again, whether it's 30 years or 1 year old, changes will have to be made. And I think organizations that can effectively and efficiently make those changes faster than their competitors are going to be the winners over the next few years. If you think about what a lot of people call the unicorns of the business, their ability to make quality changes fast is what separates them. And so if you're an organization that is dependent on the mainframe or on quote legacy quote code unquote, your ability to modify that to market requirements will be critical to your success. So, you know, legacy code to me is just code that's been around for a while. It means it's working fairly well or it wouldn't have been around, but there will be a need to make changes to that. And so I think changing is faster. I think, you know, one of the things that I also believe is that you need DevOps in support of these systems to do a few things. We talked about speed. The next thing is quality, man. I mean, we have got to make these changes, but we can't sacrifice the quality of that code that's being delivered to a production state. And so I think DevOps gives us the opportunity to deliver that change quicker, but I also believe it allows us to deliver better code. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. I think that the other thing that is a strong reason to move or to adopt DevOps as a means to deliver software is that I see a convergence in the software delivery ecosystem as more and more organizations adopt Agile. as a means to deliver or to manage that development delivery process. You're going to see a convergence of process and tools to support that software delivery effort. And I think that convergence is important. That convergence will give resources and organizations the ability to leverage fewer resources to support multiple platforms that are required to deliver today's applications. You think about how applications are built today, Jake, and they're not built like they were 20 years ago, where they were built with a specific platform in mind. Most applications today are componentized, and you may have components that are running on a web server or a mobile device or a database server or in the cloud, out of the cloud, on the mainframe. And to be able to provide a development environment to where developers can focus on the necessary code changes without a deep understanding of the target platform and its idiosyncrasies is critical to software delivery. So I think there's a lot of reasons why organizations need to do DevOps regardless of the age of the code.
Yeah. And I, you know, we certainly hear from Chris all the time, Chris O'Malley, you know, every company is a software company these days, and, yeah. You know, and it's no longer big beats small. It's quick beats slow. So I think you're absolutely right in that regard. And, you know, in terms of, you know, you spoke on, you know, leveraging tools and integrations and stuff like that. You know, how can the mainframe leverage those distributed tools, you know, with things like Git?
You know, in almost any way. I think one of the biggest advantages in moving to a more DevOps-centric model of software delivery for mainframe-targeted software is the ability to leverage automation. You think about how non-mainframe teams will do simple things like build. You know, they have built scripts, or they're leveraging Jenkins or some orchestration engine to manage that build process. So there's no reason why the mainframe capabilities that are being utilized to deliver software, like, you know, the build function, like testing and deployment, there's no reasons that those services can't be automated and managed through a common orchestration engine. In fact, you know, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, Jake. One of the things that I believe in is that your software delivery ecosystem should align with your application architecture. And what that means is, if you've got applications that are leveraging multiple platforms, you've got components of those applications running on multiple platforms, your software delivery environment should reflect those requirements, meaning that that build process, in order to keep all of those components synchronized, needs to be able to, or needs to include build on multiple platforms. And so the ability to execute a compile, link edit, from a Jenkins job synchronized with a similar build for Java or whatever, I think is critical to, again, making that quality work so well. And so, yeah, the orchestration component is a typical non-mainframe software delivery tool that can be leveraged by the mainframe. I think, you know, other things that are important to me are tools that can better support agile management of the software delivery process. If you think about tools like Jira and Rally and others out there, managing that process or that work is no different for the mainframe than it is for any other platform, and we should be managing that work in the same way. Better deployment synchronization. You know, 15 years ago, when someone came to me at IBM, we started talking about deployment. And my response initially was, you know, hell, we've been doing deployment, automated deployment using traditional SCM tools for a long, long time. And, you know, it's nothing new. The difference today is that, again, because of the complex nature of the application architecture and multiple components on multiple platforms, that deployment process can be complex, certainly can be difficult, and needs to be, I think, automated as much as possible. And so I think that deployment synchronization is important, as well as being able to recover from a problem, being able to reset, resync is critical. And then there are other tools that the traditional or that the non-mainframe developer uses, peer review type technology, again, automated builds, automated testing and deployment, lots of tools and capabilities that the non-mainframe programmer has been using for some time now can be and are available to that mainframe programmer. And that's an advantage. That's goodness for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think automated testing and has got to be one of the more important things to automate, right? I mean, testing takes up a big chunk of time in developers' day. And, you know, if you can automate that and have quality gates in check along the way, I think that's a direly important thing. And, you know, along those lines of kind of bottlenecks, you know, what are some of those bottlenecks that you've seen with your experience?
There are lots of reasons that we all fail in trying to implement change within an organization. You know, the one of the biggest things that I see is just a lack of commitment at the highest levels and even at the lowest levels within an organization. A commitment to change the way we work. And so to me, that's the biggest bottleneck, a belief that, you know, we can't do what we do in a new way. You know, we've been building mainframe systems for a long, long time on that platform. And quite honestly, one of the problems that makes change so difficult is that we were pretty good at what we did. You know, we talk about legacy systems with your first question. Those systems have been around a long, long time, but that's because they were built properly. They were built well.
Working code's gold, right?
Working code's gold, dude. And so you go in to try to convince someone who's been leveraging those techniques for a long time to, you know, as a way to deliver quality software, and it's hard to maybe win that argument. And so my response is, look, we're not saying that we're doing it wrong. We're just not doing it fast enough. And so with market conditions today as they are, organizations have to look at the means by which they deliver software. And again, it's not that what we did was wrong. Obviously, it worked. It created quality systems. We just got to get faster, Jake, at producing those systems with the same level of quality.
Right.
And that's the hard part.
And yeah, so, you got to balance the three things, right? Quality, efficiency, and velocity.
That's exactly right. And especially on the back end side, where these mainframe systems typically, you know, provide service, those systems have to be right, because, you know, essentially they're the core. That data is critical to the organization. So we've got to minimize the mistakes with regard to how code executes and how those systems operate. But we've also got to get faster, Jake. And I think nobody will disagree with me on that. Throwing more people at it doesn't work. Anybody who's been in mainframe software development for a long time understands that typically causes more problems than it creates.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, right?
Yeah. And so we've got to figure out, you know, are there things that we can do from a process standpoint? And are there things from a tooling standpoint that we can leverage to help us achieve the same level of quality in a shorter period of time?
So you talked about the commitment, you know, from the higher ups at certain places. You know, other than the, you know, kind of adage of, you know, this is how we've always done the work, what are some other things that kind of prevent the commitment into this journey?
Well, there are a lot of organizations, Jake, who struggle with this implementation. Talk to organizations who believe that it's the right thing to do, but then they struggle with how that type of change is implemented. So there are the cultural issues that we talked about, but then there are ways, I think good ways and maybe bad ways to implement that type of change. One of the things that I believe in, and we're starting to see some tremendous payback on, is starting to change how we look at the software delivery ecosystem, processes and the tools required to support the delivery of code. And if you think about it, a lot of organizations, especially on the mainframe side, Jake, waterfall methodology is so entrenched in how we think about delivering software. In a lot of shops, I see that approach or waterfall methodology being used to implement a transition to Agile and DevOps. And if you think about it, it's crazy. And so one of the things I'm encouraging folks to consider is that when you are looking to make changes with regard to how you're delivering software, that you actually adopt an Agile methodology for the implementation of that software. Again, I believe that the software delivery ecosystem is a software delivery application or software delivery system, a critical software delivery application for your business, just like a retail banking app or an inventory control app for a manufacturing system. The software delivery system in an organization today may be the most critical application or system within your organization. And so if we believe that implementing change in critical business applications is best accomplished through Agile and through DevOps, why would the same not be true for the implementation of change to our software delivery systems? So one of the things that I think is important, and we're starting to see a lot of success, is using Agile as a way to manage the modernization project, to manage that transition, to define, you know, what that minimal viable product or solution is for developers within their teams, and then to roll that out, to stabilize it, to learn, to get better, and then to add features and new capabilities incrementally. I think over time, it actually shortens your transition life cycle, because you're going to reduce the errors and issues in your rollout. You're going to learn more faster, and you're going to manage risk and cost in delivering those capabilities to your users, which are developers and testers. So I think method of implementation is one of those bottlenecks or problems that I see a lot of organizations struggle with regards to implementing these type of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of speaking from my experience, you know, the Agile process certainly does result in a better end product because you learned along the way, right? If you're learning on a yearly cycle, you know, you're going to be a year behind on your learnings, essentially, yeah, every time you deliver, right?
I've got clients who are using tools to manage stories and or epics and stories and tasks within that transition process, where they're defining, you know, that interface to software development, and then they're adding capabilities for the mainframe, and maybe, you know, testing, better testing methods, better testing tools like Topaz and others to get better at testing. And then once, you know, you solidify that approach, then you can, maybe the next feature or increment in the next subsequent sprint might be incorporation of that work in an automated fashion through the use of Jenkins. And so there are lots of ways to implement change. I think an incremental Agile approach works well for most organizations.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on, you know, the cultural aspect of it, but it, you know, other than the practical things that you can do, like the Agile process, I mean, it really is a mindset that you kind of have to switch into, right?
It really is, Jake. I mean, and you've got to, and that requires some education. You know, I think that executives as well as middle-level managers and the people who are going to be responsible for implementing this change need to understand why it's important and what the benefits are. Which leads to another important point. You know, a big part of implementing this type of change is the ability to measure your effectiveness. And so being able to define benchmarks with regard to how efficient you are today. And then as you implement those changes, you know, what impact is it making to your organization? So educating developers, executives on why this is important is absolutely critical, so that you've got that support, you've got that buy-in. And again, it's hard for a lot of us, like myself, who've been doing this for a long time. But if you understand the goals and objectives and why this is important to your team, to your organization, quite honestly, to yourself, then it can be very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as somebody who is looking to start down this journey, they find the value in it. They're wondering, okay, now what can I do? What shouldn't I do? From your point of view, are there any big do's or don'ts, when starting this journey, or even, if you're in the middle of the journey?
Yeah, I think that the first thing I tell people, especially who are trying to include the mainframe or into their software delivery strategy, is don't assume that it has to be different than what you're already doing. Again, that was one of the reasons that I came to CompuWare, was because they had, their strategy was to provide the mainframe developer and tester with tools to expedite the work that they were doing. But those tools were designed to be easily integratable into tools that you may already be using on the non-mainframe side of your software development house. And that's what customers were asking for. So, several years ago when I got into this business, can we leverage, tools that we're already using, tools like Jenkins and Sonar? Can those be used to expedite mainframe software delivery? And the answer is absolutely they can. And so from a process standpoint, from a tooling standpoint, we can leverage a lot of the same technologies that are a part of that software delivery lifecycle. What we provide are those capabilities for the mainframe developer and easy inclusion into investments in tools and processes that they may have already made. So don't assume that it can be done differently. The other thing that again, I believe in, and I won't beat this horse to death because we already talked about it a little bit, is to see that software delivery processes and tools as a system, and to start to think of it in that way. I tell folks that one of the first things you're looking to do, if you're really getting ready to start this transformational journey, you're getting ready to change the means by which you deliver software, start to think of your existing ecosystem as a system. And that means having accountability for the effectiveness of that system. We talk about, from an agile standpoint, of having product owners who are responsible for the effectiveness of certain applications and products, within our organization that we deliver. I think the same is true for that software delivery system. So when I tell people who are looking to do this, one of the first things that I ask them to do is to ensure that you've got executive commitment, that executives understand the potential value and reasons why we're doing this, so that they can provide the support and commitment needed in this type of transformational journey, but also a designated product owner and potentially a small team of resources, just like you would designate a team of resources to the support of any other mission critical system within your organization. So identification of those resources, I think, is important. I think measurement's important. Understanding, what does winning mean with regard to the implementation of these types of changes, and then a process by which these changes can be implemented, so to minimize hiccups and problems, troubles along the way. And I think using Agile, with an agile organizational structure, gives you the best chance of doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So thanks for sharing your input. I'm glad, you know, we're doing this series and hopefully can pass some knowledge on to some listeners. So Jill, I think that's all the time we have for today. So I'll pass it back to you.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jake. And a very special thanks to Rick for joining us as well. To our audience, please be sure to stay tuned for the second segment of this topic to come very soon. But that is a wrap for today. Thanks for tuning in to the BMC Amy Z Talk podcast. Have a wonderful day.
The BMC Amy Z Talk and Caffeware Modern Mainframe podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, soundcloud.com/modernmainframe.